How are we doing this morning? Is this our earliest one? Got a new record in there. All right. Yeah, whatever you got.
How full pads yesterday? How much banking? How much hitting at all? Contact?
Yeah, it's like a regular kind of Wednesday or Thursday practice.
Was it a good chance of work in the run game or?
Yeah, pads is always good for the run game, for, you know, all the line of scrimmage work, blitz pickup, short yardage, goal line, tempo, pad level.
Is there anything specifically about the Broncos' run game in the last meeting between you guys that you felt like presented a problem?
Well, that was definitely a problem. I mean, we just didn't play very well. Give 179 yards, I mean, that's not where we want to be.
Bill, the play of the offensive line last week did a nice job keeping Tom relatively clean. Two-part question. How much did the return of Sebastian Bulmer help settle things down? And do you think you can duplicate that performance this week, or do you think it'll be an even bigger challenge?
Yeah, I don't know. That's why we're playing the game. Always good to have any player. It's good to have every player back, any player back. So it's good to have Sebastian back. It's good to have any player back. Yeah, I don't know. We'll prepare for it and see how it goes.
Have you seen Denver's run game kind of improve as the season's gone on? It seems like the numbers just in the second half have been a lot better than they were at the beginning of the season.
Well, probably the best it was against us, so yeah, we saw it.
How was the team's preparation this week? I mean, they practiced, you're headed out there, how do they look?
We'll see.
How's Keyshawn developed in the offense the last few months?
Good. Good. I mean, you know, again, Keyshawn had a good, relatively good background with what we were doing. A lot of terminology was similar in Houston to what Billy did. But still, it's different, and the timing's different. There's certainly a lot of differences, but he had a good start on that. You know, he missed a couple weeks there around midseason, but, you know, he's done a good job for us returning the ball and offensively, and you know, he's played multiple positions. So he's been a solid addition for us. Glad we have him.
Has he exceeded your expectations they had for him when you brought him in?
We thought he would help us. That's why we traded for him.
Bill, this late in the season, how much do you kind of get back to the fundamentals of things, just simple catching, tackling, ball security, or are you pretty much at the point where it's all about game planning?
No, I mean, it's a great question. It's a fine line. You try to... It's nothing more important than fundamentals, so no play is good with bad fundamentals. It's just impossible. That being said, there are a lot of scheme things that come up, you know, over the course of the season that teams keep building. We build and our opponents build, and so each week there's more to get ready for because, you know, they're further along. I mean, it's a lot different than the first game of the season when you only have, you know, so much time to work on stuff. We've had, you know, over 100 practices, and it keeps building and building, so... You got to deal with the scheme issues, and you got to deal with the fundamentals. So it's trying to find that balance, but they're both critical. I mean, if you're out schemed, you're out of position, then you're in bad shape. And like I said, no play is a good play with bad fundamentals. Just won't happen. So that's the balance.
Tom talked about ball security yesterday. Do you think that protecting the football is something that it's even more of a point of emphasis in the playoffs because those margins and those final scores, particularly last weekend, were so close?
Yeah, sure. I don't know how anything could be more important than ball security in any game, so let's just start with that.
I wanted to ask about Julian, too. I know that when he's on the field, the style of the offense doesn't necessarily change, but what is it about his play that makes the offense so successful?
Seven, another good player out there. I mean, the more you have, the harder it is to defend. More guys you have that can make plays, and Julian makes them, you know, after the catch. He's a strong runner after the catch, along with some other guys we have, and so it's a passing game. It's a run after catch game, and, you know, that helps spread the defense and opens up things for other guys. So more threats, more weapons you have on the field, better, easier it is to attack.
How rare is it to have a player like Dante, who's as big as he is and also moves as well as he is, in the middle of the field as a stand-up linebacker?
It's good. I mean, that's kind of what we've always had, though. that's sort of what we, title linebacker, we've tried to have here.
Wilson's such a stout front
as well. I mean, Dante has great set of skills. He's big. He runs well. He's very smart and instinctive. He's got a good feel for the ball and the passing game, which doesn't necessarily happen with all linebackers. So he's played end in sub situations. He's played sub linebacker. He's played inside. He's played outside. Played in all the nickel and dime stuff. We saw that coming out about him. He handled that defense, which we all know Nick runs, a similar type of system with adjustments and, checks and things like that. And, we do our share of that as well. So, he handled that well, and he's played multiple spots. Like I said, he did the same thing in Alabama. He rushed, he covered, played the run. He's a good pass defender. He's on the field in all three downs, played in the kicking game, so...
You put more on his plate now with dryout?
Look, I think everybody's got to do what their assignment is. Can't have one guy playing two spots. One guy's got to play one, and the other guy's got to play the other. So everybody's got to – we all have to share our load, do a good job with it.
Do you envision filling that final roster spot, or is that something that you don't have to do if, you've
got to deactivate the 46? We'll see. I think there's any point in putting a guy on that's just going to deactivate anyway. Do we really need to do that and use that move? I don't know. So,
are you required to, by any chance, just with practice squad rules, or do those not apply in the postseason? How sometimes you have to have a full 53?
Yeah. Nick and I will talk about that today. We'll make it work one way or the other.
I wanted to ask you about Shaq Mason playing right guard in the last game. Usually you saw him more at left guard, and I know you touched on that.
He's been almost exclusively at left guard this year. Although he played right guard his entire career at Georgia Tech. Yeah.
Is that not a big deal, or does this go back to the whole Matt Light? Hey, sometimes you switch a guy over and it doesn't work, or is that maybe a little different situation?
I don't think... Shaq was like uncomfortable playing left guard, and it wasn't like moving Matt from left to right or from tackle to guard. But he's played a lot of right guard, and Trey played right guard at Florida State, so we kind of had two right guards. Somebody had to move. We worked them both in the spring, and decided to go into training camp with Shaq, Stork, which eventually became David Andrews, and then Trey on the right, just to be able to get them all reps and work it out. And in all honesty, we really haven't had the opportunity to have a lot of consistency there. And now with Trey out and, Josh and Shaq, and Josh has played a lot on both sides. So this kind of worked out. If it was the other way, I don't think we'd be in a big crisis mode, but I feel like, that was the best for us last week, and we'll see what happens this week.
So was it more of a matchup situation or a combination?
No, I think we're just doing what's best for us. It's hard on the matchups. They move people around, and it's hard to match up inside. Sometimes you can, but a lot of times it's the overs and the unders, and the fronts don't always stay the same. And so, it's one thing we have a nose and a center, but not saying aren't matchups, but I'd say they're less predictable in a lot of cases at that position.
Coach, as far as the NFL databases go back, 13 different starting combinations in the O-line is an all-time NFL record. Has this been the most challenging O-line situation that you've had to deal with as a head coach?
Yeah, I don't know. We just play week to week. Right now we're getting ready for Denver. I don't really rank them. And whatever the stats are, they are. I don't really care what they are right now. We're just focused on the Denver game, trying to do the best we can this week. So that's really all I care about. The rest of the NFL database, great. I'm sure it's tremendous.
What are the benefits to going to Denver early, aside from avoiding potential weather issues?
Well, that's a factor.
Other benefits?
It's a 1 o'clock game, so it's a quicker turnaround than... For example, last time we played out there on Sunday night, so it's a little bit of a different schedule.
wanted to ask you about Justin Coleman, and I guess what is it about his skill set or what he's shown you behind the scenes that's allowed you guys to trust him? It seems like when he's been available, I know he's had some starts and stops because of injury, but just wanted to get your perspective on him.
Yeah, he's done a good job for us. You know, we haven't had a tremendous amount of depth at that position, and you know, as you pointed out, when he's played, you know, he's done a good job. There were a couple of points in the season where it was, you know, a little bit of a strain to carry him, to be honest with you. You know, but in the end, you know, we felt like this is a guy that we needed, and we liked the way he played when he played. Unfortunately, the setbacks were, they were what they were. He couldn't really play through, you know, broken bone and concussion. So that was, you know, it's what it is. So we had to, you know, kind of wait for those to, you know, for him to get over the hump on those. But I would say that, you know, he's never shown any signs of, like, not coming back quickly, not being ready to go, you know, that type of thing, or anything that lingered. He's done a good job in the opportunities that he's had. And you're right, there's been a couple spots where he wasn't available, but, you know, we've hung in there with him. And I think he did a good job for us again last week.
Was he a guy who was hard to get an evaluation on before the season? And
real hard.
Why?
Well, I mean, I'd say he's a little bit like Malcolm Butler. I'd say this doesn't look quite like the player he was at Tennessee. So I think there were some issues that probably he was dealing with at Tennessee that, you know, aren't there now, probably physically. And, you know, in preseason, and there wasn't, you know, like a ton of great tape on him. You know, he was on and off a couple rosters, and he was here, and I think Seattle or whatever it was. You know, he's kind of a little bit in flux there. Teams are trying to get a handle on him, like we were. And then, you know, we just, I think the end of the transactions, there were several transactions there, but in the end, I think we signed him off Seattle's practice squad, if I remember correctly. And, you know, we just made a commitment to him, and, you know, that worked out. Okay, all right, great, thank you.